So, hi everyone. Hi Dom. Thanks for coming. I think that it's actually a very special interview, or how we call it, conversation, right? It's because of its first ever interview I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful for you to support me. I would say that it's quite personal because it's the end of the year.
Right.
And I really was thinking about my future resolution and 2024, and I really wanted to start something something by myself, and maybe a bit of foolish and new but creative. So thank you for supporting me and being my first guest, I would say, in this conversations.
Definitely, thank you for having me. Yeah, I really appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, it's good that you're trying. Yeah. Like a lot of people have resolutions, but
you're the one
taking action. So yeah, I respect that.
Thank you so much. So I'm not going to make introduction about this channel, more about yourself. So maybe you can just briefly introduce yourself.
Sure.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So hi, everyone. Yeah. My name is Don. So I am ethnically Korean, but I was born and raised in Russia. So I lived most of my life in Russia. And then but I've been educated abroad, so I went to like Canada, Hong Kong, I spent a little bit of time in San Francisco in US, so just been around, and then eventually landed in Singapore. So I've been here in Singapore for the past 4 years. Right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm working with Ant Group, which is also known as Alipay. So my position here is a software I work as a software engineer, so my position in the team is sort of like a tech lead or a senior software engineer.
Mm.
Yeah, so I've been working here for the past 4 years. Yeah.
It's a very diverse experience of yours. I actually was learning about your experience on LinkedIn, and it's actually very interesting choices. You are quite global, right? I mean, for example, I'm not sure like how and what was the reason that you went to Canada for high school.
Mm.
And then after that is like more natural, you will like find some university there, etc.
Right.
Then you moved again to, let's say, Hong Kong, right?
Right.
And anyway, just can you tell me like
first
like choices of your path?
Sure. Yeah. So for the context, I started first when I was 16, I went to Canada for high school. Yeah. At that time, I always knew like I kind of wanted to be educated abroad because I really wanted to sort of land something like, in the international sort of scene. Yeah. So just kind of wanted to try getting some education abroad. So my parents luckily supported me, so I had a chance to go outside. And then, but later on, I had to pivot a couple of times, obviously. So I was sort of trying to keep an open mind, trying to explore. And then I realized Canada is very, very far from my hometown.
So that was how many hours it is, like if you will fly?
So it's like 10 hours to South Korea.
Oh.
From Canada, and then from South Korea I need to interchange, stay overnight, and then I have to fly for another 3 hours, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's not too bad actually. It's
but it's quite far away.
Yeah, but still far. So my parents especially were quite worried, I think.
Oh.
As well. So they sort of wanted me to move closer to Asia. So yeah, and at that time, pretty much in Asia, if you look at international places, I think the choice is quite limited. It's either Singapore.
Yeah, I agree. I actually also was thinking that if I would do like, let's say a more like background in Canada or something,
right.
Like you want to find more international global environment, I think that
exactly.
It's not so many choices.
Exactly. Yeah. So in Asia, it's either Singapore or Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So at that time, I just happened to get an offer from Hong Kong, so I decided to go there.
Do you think this education helped you somehow? Like.
Definitely. Yeah. I think looking back, right, I'm a software engineer, but I studied mathematics. There is not much that I use for my actual degree that I use day to day, pretty much nothing. So it wasn't really, the value wasn't really in the hard knowledge that I learned, but my university, like, it was very, very rough, right? So I spent most of my time in the library.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I kind of like, in a way, on the other side of the coin, I feel like sort of missed out on some of the fun experiences in college.
Huh.
Yeah, but it was very difficult, and so I had to sort of, it taught me really the value of like working very, very diligently on very, very difficult problems, because we had a lot of like sort of academic problems that I needed to resolve.
Oh,
and so like I think problem solving, like pretty much my problem solving and like a lot of my mental toughness that I sort of carry with me in my current job,
I think developed
in the university.
So I'm just curious, in that university, like as a bachelor, right, like how many proportion of international employees or students, and
I don't remember the exact numbers. I would imagine roughly, so don't quote me on this, but I think roughly would be 70-30 So okay. there are a lot of locals, but 30% are considered sort of the people from mainland China are also classified under international students technically.
Okay.
So this part is a little bit like sort of, yeah, like vague how you define international students. I think the actual expats from non-China and non-Hong Kong were maybe 10-15%.
Oh, not
yeah,
so much.
So it's still not so much. Yeah, I would say the circle was quite small. Like you know most of the people.
So you, how to say, you learn Chinese?
No, I don't speak Chinese.
You don't speak Chinese? But it's like, because yes, there's like that population of the students who, like, I believe the daily they speak in Chinese, right?
Yeah, so I definitely think Chinese would be very helpful. So especially like Singapore, yeah, just for the context, I think Singapore is a lot more English speaking than Hong Kong is. So even though Hong Kong official language is still English, they tend to speak more Cantonese, which is one of the
Cantonese
dialects.
In Hong Kong, right?
Yeah, so, but it's you can still get by with English. So it was, I got by, but yeah, definitely would have helped.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think that it's a quite big, how to say, maybe a level of adaptability of yours, if you can, you know, adapt to different cultures, different environments so fast, and especially in that tough environment of university.
I think traveling helps a lot.
Traveling,
I'm sure you'd know as well.
Yeah. You meet a lot of people, you can understand life.
So you've been, you yourself have been like...
Yeah, I've been working in different regions also.
So it was London? And then Spain,
myself, I've been working in like I started in China, then it's different cities in China, then it's Russia, Europe, like Spain, France, Italy, and now
you've been
in,
all over. It's like I should be interviewing you.
No,
you should
I would
be
say
sharing all the insights with me.
This might be in the next when you will get rich, or when you will get famous and you will invite me.
Yeah, hopefully that happens one day.
Yeah. Okay. One day we will sponsor each other.
Yeah, sure. I'll be happy to do so if I have enough money.
So, this kind of like, why I'm asking so much, because I think that like your background somehow also giving you a lot of like kind of security or even confidence in what you do on the next step, right? So.
Sure.
After that, after Hong Kong University, you somehow went to Silicon Valley. You took a gap year, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me that experience?
So actually, what ended up happening is like I kind of burned out through university. So I think I was like borderline sort of depressed. I'm not sure if it's like a clinical depression or not, but like I was feeling very, very down at that time. So it was a very hard time for me, and I remember. But like. The root cause why I felt so low was because I wasn't exactly sure what I want to do in future with my life. But deep inside, I somehow had that voice that was telling me that I want to go into the tech industry. So going to tech industry, obviously Silicon Valley is sort of like Hollywood of like...
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's actually something that is like you think about, I don't know, tech, it's Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
You just went
exactly,
there, right?
Exactly. So I was sort of like lucky, like... Yeah, obviously chance plays a factor. So like I just stumbled upon this program where you can go and study software engineering, like for a boot camp there.
Okay.
And it's like located in Silicon Valley. So I was like, yeah, what a perfect opportunity. So I applied and then took a gap
semester.
But
you've done some work, right, to search it?
Actually, it turned out they reached out to me because they were targeting university students. So somehow they got on the mailing list. They got the mailing list from our university, yeah.
Oh, then it's great.
Yeah.
And
so.
Which kind of, I don't know, like I'm also somehow have been working with some developers and software engineers.
Right.
So like it's a very different language. So how it started, like, do you think it was very helpful for you to becoming at least a junior developer or?
As a, in a bootcamp?
Yeah, in a bootcamp.
So I would say it really depends on the nature of the company that you're eventually going to land in. I can see that bootcamps are helpful, and for sure if you, like they can really help you, I think, get a job, and some of them even give, from what I've seen, some of them give a job guarantee.
Oh, nice.
So it's a good starting place. But is it a complete software engineering preparation experience? I would say no. On top of the bootcamp, you still need to add up like certain things. And especially if you're going for a big enterprise, like, I don't know, like Fang or Manga, right? Like Facebook, Google, whatever. And here, like, let's say even Alibaba or Ant Group, right? Usually it's not so easy to directly transition on average.
Understand.
So you would definitely need to add some extra practice and some extra hustling.
to get a job. So that boot camp, like, it was kind of self-paid or like
they it was self-paid. You pay by yourself, but I got like a partial scholarship, so it was a little bit better.
Oh, nice.
Yes, it was okay, roughly comparable with my education price, so I was cool. Okay with that.
So you like duration of 1 year or?
It was 4 months, the boot camp itself, and then I landed sort of an unpaid internship there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a funny story. So I was like actually going to a conference. So I was like trying to network, trying to get an internship.
Okay.
Because I was desperate at the time, right? So, and I met a guy in the, in a Uber. So there we have Uber Pool, right? Uber Pool, okay. Where you like get seated with the, with other people. And like when you go to a conference, it's a great place to network because everybody is going to the conference and you have like 10-15 minutes in a car together, they cannot run away from you.
Oh, nice.
And people like to talk generally. So
nice.
It's like it was 15 minutes I had with the car with this guy who was like, yeah, sort of the head of investments, angel group. So yeah, we talked and then eventually he gave me his business cards. I reached out and then he gave me like an unpaid internship.
Oh, nice. It's like, in 2017, right?
Yeah, correct.
Interesting. So what do you have done? Like in that time, yeah.
In that time, you mean on the job itself?
Yeah, on the job itself.
So it was a part-time job. My title was an investment associate. So what we were doing was screening different startups.
Oh.
So I would just interview different startups on their pitch deck. Like they would pitch to us and I would interview them on their pitch decks. Go through their products, try to assess the market size, whether it makes sense or not, and then give my recommendations to the other stakeholders. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I learned a lot, like especially on my sort of mindset has changed.
The biggest thing
actually in Silicon Valley that I learned was not the technical skills, not the software engineering, but my mind totally opened up.
Hmm.
It was like really life-changing, I think.
Nice.
Like,
so it's a very, very, very useful. And
So when I went back to Singapore, I felt like I had a lot more energy than when I was leaving.
Oh.
And so then it was just like
in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Then when I came back to Hong Kong, it was like pure execution, like back to back.
That's so you would totally recommend to do this kind of experience?
I think there's no one size fits all. I think it really depends on a person. But overall, I think if you find something that you have that voice inside of you that's telling you should try. Definitely, if you have a chance to sort of give it a try, like 6 months, 3 months, whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, why not? Definitely.
If I would stay in Silicon, like if I would went to Silicon Valley a bit and then
you would have stayed there, is it?
Yeah, I would have stayed there. Yeah. I would have done some kind of investment stuff. You know,
you're
it's
right.
fun.
It is really fun, and the industry there is amazing.
A lot of people who are open, you know, willing to talk to you and share with you a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
Why you still decided
to
go to
Hong Kong? So this is something I'm still sort of debating whether I've done the right choice or not. So I sort of had like two options, right? Either I can try to pursue sort of the Western path and go to maybe try to go to America, for example, or I could settle in Asia and try to sort of grow here. I think the thought process, so I don't know, was the right choice. I'm sure my life would have been very different if I went there, I tried to go there. I think why I chose like Asia is because I think Asia is really growing, so it has potential. It's sort of like a growth opportunity. I think while you as great as US is sort of, I would imagine the industry is much more mature, but again, I don't know everything, but the industry is much more mature. So I thought like here, in especially Southeast Asia, is still very up and coming. If you're here early enough, maybe you can build the network, the skills, the right experiences. I think it can.
Yeah, I think that
it's
is
sort of a calculated risk.
I have the same feeling. I've been like also in China, and then I went to Europe, and I started to like kind of having some experience there, and I realized that, like, you know, you kind of understand there is a different game there, and you somehow you can actually develop yourself there, but you are somehow like already not in the very high speed train, you know, like you know, which is moving so fast and you are with them. And I realized that maybe Southeast Asia is a great region for you to also, you know, to catch up that very fast speed train and see how you can really benefit
from
it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and about the choices, just wanted to, like, then you went back to Hong Kong, and then how come you end up in like Ant Group, right?
Right. So this one also happened very much by chance.
Nice.
Right. So yeah.
You
sometimes
you
just get lucky.
You should tell our listeners like how they how to say how to make lucky. How to be catchy on these opportunities, you know?
Well, like, I think I think, like, I mean, it's cliche, but like, chance favors a prepared mind.
Yeah,
you gotta be ready when things happen.
So
yeah, so it's like
your LinkedIn page should be beautifully done.
Yeah, you gotta have your resume ready.
You should be connected with a lot of people, like HR.
Yes. Good to be friends with people like Eileen.
Yeah.
That definitely helps in case some opportunities come up. But
nice.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, you gotta know. All right, so for me, what's been working for me, if I know exactly what I wanna do, or like where I'm going very clearly in my head,
mm-hmm.
when things come up, I know exactly this is the right type of opportunity that I need to pursue. So things actually happen in, like, in life, things come and go all the time. It's very, you just need to know when to act and when not to act.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just miss out because they're not so clear in their heads what they want to do, I think. They don't have a clear vision. But for me, like, with this opportunity, I knew exactly, like, I want to be in a very fast-paced culture, sort of join a fast-growing company. So when somebody reached out to me and said, oh, Ant is hiring, I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I want immediately, right? No questions asked.
Great.
Yeah, so it was like on-spot decision for me. So I kind of got lucky, but like I also acted on it very fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe like because it's a quite narrow, or I would say not everyone knows what is Ant Financial.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
Maybe you can
so
just to give us a few brief about this company, what they do.
Right. So, yeah, I think maybe Ant Group is sort of a less recognizable brand. Maybe more people know about Alipay. So it's sort of Alipay is a China-grown company, right, that originally was established in China. So originally spun off from Alibaba as well, right, and grew into an independent company. So the main business in the China is of course, the Alipay wallet that they're building, right? But right now, as the company's growing, globalization is a much bigger part of the strategy. So there are a lot more opportunities in the globalization. So I'm part of I'm part of the international, like Ant International.
So I just wanted to add that this is like a super app, we are saying, like, it's
yeah.
I think super app, the definition itself, it's like quite common in especially the internet, is like, but in China, I mean, like, people who lived in China, they understand, right, that
right.
you have one app and everything what you do, like, related with payments, actually, it's Alipay, right?
Yeah, correct.
So you can, you know, wake up, get, your breakfast from grocery, I know, get the delivery through this app.
Mm-hmm.
You also can get a taxi from this app.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you can, I don't know, go to cinema through this app, and everything is like inside of it. And even the buying the tickets, air tickets and everything.
You're right. So what they've built there is really amazing, I think.
Yeah, I also think it's that really, when I was living
really
there, I think that I only need this app. I don't need, I think the Taobao and all other like shopping platform also integrating,
right?
Say.
Yeah,
so I was like thinking, oh, why I need other app? I just use Alipay app.
Sure,
so this is for me the best app.
You're
that,
right.
Yeah.
As long as your battery doesn't run out during the day.
Yeah. Oh, they also did a very great, I think this is a good story about this. They did a good kind of revolution of the credits, right? Because I'm as a foreigner in China.
I never had
been able to take any credits, let's say, from the bank because, let's say, I'm a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Alipay started to do this long time ago, and I can just buy in Taobao things without any, you know, like without any money.
Right.
They even changed the button, you know.
It's not
like use your own money, you just pay by the credits of Alipay.
So it was
very convenient for me that time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think they have a lot of data so they can make this kind of decisions to take like good risks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's for the sort of domestic China business of the company, right? The one I'm part of is the Ant International. So this is, so I don't touch the domestic business, so I don't know much about it actually.
Yeah.
For the international market, what we're focusing on, so yeah, again, it's a payments company, right? And inside of the companies, there are many different business units, so there are a lot of different types of services that we provide, but I think the ones that I'm sort of more close to is the ones like where we provide payment processing capabilities to different sort of merchants, and we provide, specifically, we provide access to many different channels. To many different channels in, like, for example, like Southeast Asia or like Europe, etc. So that's one of the businesses. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys now, like, just roughly, I know that maybe it's very sensitive to say, but how big a team is in Singapore? Like,
I don't know the exact number, but my feeling is hundreds. Yeah, hundreds of people, a few hundred
How
people.
How many of them are developers?
Developers probably around 50,
50%.
I think.
Oh,
no, not 50%. 50
people.
50 people. Around
oh,
50
then
people.
It's not that big team.
It's
right?
not huge, huge. Yeah, so
okay.
that's why we work very closely with. Yeah, I think up to 50 people, considering all the. Yeah. Anyways, that's why we work very closely with China. A lot of core
yeah.
teams still sit in China.
How you work with China? I mean, like, it's for my understanding, it's a big challenge for a person who cannot speak Chinese.
Who can? Oh, so you
yeah,
you mean
yeah,
me
like
personally?
For yourself, yeah.
Yeah, so this was kind of one of the challenges I really had to adapt to.
Yeah.
I think ultimately, sort of key to success in any job, in my opinion, is you just gotta build your own area of expertise that other people are not as good as in, so then you always can bring value.
Yeah.
As long as you can bring value, long story short, like people have no choice but turn you down, so they will always find ways to collaborate with you.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
like they are incentivized to collaborate with you because you're bringing them value.
Understand.
So for me, yeah, in the beginning, like, yeah, it's hard, but slowly, I mean, it helps that we're still an international company on paper. So people are trying, even if they're based in China and don't have international experience, they're trying to speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so me, because like I slowly started to build my expertise, like luckily people tend to collaborate more. I think that's one thing. Another thing is because I have good relationships, I think relatively good relationships here locally. That helps because I can always talk to local stakeholders in English, and they would help to bridge me with the Chinese people.
So you
in
have
some
this
cases.
Kind of, you know,
I have a support system.
Yeah, you have a
yeah.
support system which is giving you like kind of more security, right?
Yeah. So you definitely want to build like your support system. That's yeah. In my case, I build like English speaking support system that help me to bridge
yeah,
the gap.
It's because, if you know, a lot of people who want to join or looking for a job, they think that the Chinese companies are quite, you know, like. Too much China inside of that. It's like you need to speak that language, or even the culture, and also people
it's definitely,
you know,
a big challenge. I see a lot of sort of, not a lot, but like cultural clashes happen. So,
yeah, so
it's like it's not
people,
out of nowhere.
Like, do you have some like people like you who cannot speak in Chinese? I mean, I know because in Singaporean they can speak Chinese, right?
Yeah, so Singaporeans are like, they're, from what I understand, on average, like an average Singaporean doesn't speak perfect Chinese,
yeah.
but they speak conversational Chinese,
correct.
Which is most of the time good enough for them to get by.
So would you recommend to work in this company? Like, for example, I'm from Spain, or I'm from, I don't know, some company.
Funny enough, we have a Spanish guy.
Oh, really?
A Spanish BD here. He's doing pretty
well.
Oh,
yeah, I know. I think we're not going to put his name. But he was like also from some program. From
yes,
foreigners
yes,
from China
yes,
came
yes.
coming here, so
yes.
I think that he was somehow integrated
yeah, so
a bit
I
of this
I
culture.
I think he's doing quite well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but like,
anyways, yeah, back to
let's
question.
Say a person who never been in China or never had this relations with China, and then just want to find a job, let's say in Singapore. Do you think that it's a good idea for them to join Ant Group?
I think it really depends on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, will it be a culture shock, or like will there be like things you are not used to it? Most certainly, I would assume so. Yeah, so you need to think of it as a stepping stone, I think, whether it fits into your overall career planning. If you want to be like sort of in Asia, you want to be exposed to the Asian, like
yeah.
you want to make business with Asian companies, or like
yeah, but you know, I'm just thinking like
yeah.
some people are like, they all think that, like, also according with my experience, they think that it's how to say, Asia is cool. I mean, there's a lot of good things, and that you really would like to open up about this region, like war,
mm-hmm.
people, culture. But then when you like, you know, going there, like everything is like super different, you know,
right.
like all of my like my own employees, like in my work that I do,
mm-hmm.
and friends who joined a Chinese company, they think that it's like super different, as even I was kind of expecting a lot, but
it's
it was super
different.
So how, you know, what still keeping you, you know, thinking that this experience is quite beneficial for you?
So I think let's try to define the differences first.
Yeah.
Maybe then I will kind of talk about why I'm choosing this. I think, so first of all, so I've never worked for a Western company or European company,
oh, okay.
so I don't really know exactly, but I would imagine, yeah, so work-life balance is definitely much more prioritized
yeah.
in those Western companies. Yeah, here I think the pace and the pace is very fast.
Yeah,
you really need to execute, deliver. Yeah, and the timeline, like the pressure can come sometimes. Yeah.
Hmm.
So I think that's sort of the key difference. Yeah, and yeah. So anything?
I mean, like for example, like this pressure, right? And then you have another more relaxed job, for example, in other more American or Western companies based culture, and then. What giving you this, you know?
Right. So for me,
why you still there?
Right. So for me, I definitely knew from the beginning, at least for this stage of my life, I really want to be in a very fast paced, aggressive kind of place that's growing fast and that has opportunities. Like number one, you learn faster in this kind of places. And number two, you can grow faster in terms of your career progression. Yeah. So I really wanted, yeah, I have to pay the cost though, because it's really
so I would say that
sometimes.
Like I would translate this a bit of like how to say, maybe there is a lot of kind of cost, but you can gain much bigger opportunities for
that's what I think.
If you are really like willing to deal with this and you have this ability to deal with this Chinese company world, I totally agree. I think that is like the main kind of benefit that, for example, in more Western or more not really Western, more structurized company, actually, it's very hard to grow faster or promote faster. Yeah. Talking about the promotions, I saw in your LinkedIn that you promoted in 11 months twice. Is it possible? I mean, like even I know that some systems for promotion cannot even allow you to promote so fast.
Right.
How it happened?
So definitely, I think luck. Again, it goes back to luck. I mean, luck plays a factor, I think so. But again, you have to be ready for those opportunities. So what happened is, at that time, so we had a time when a lot of people from my team resigned. So there was a lot of, I think, very core and many very senior people who left.
Yeah.
Right. And at that time, we still had the major KPIs and major expectations on the team. And that obviously have not changed, so somebody still needs to carry the load. So like sort of when that happened, it kind of like that's the opportunity, right? Sort of to stand,
so again,
like get up, and
you are ready for any opportunity, right?
I mean,
any opportunity around
I wasn't like sort of when it happens, looking back, of course I'm very happy it happened, but in the moment it was very painful. So I definitely had to stand up, had to stay strong, but it wasn't easy. It was one of the battle scars for me. I still have some kind of PTSD from those times.
Yeah,
it was very hard, but anyways, we stepped up, and so I think one of the like members who tried to step up, and sort of we delivered everything that we were supposed to deliver.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, and then the rewards came accordingly.
So you kind of like learning while you're doing, right?
Yeah, definitely a lot. Yeah,
a lot of this, right?
A lot of this.
Do you have any good mentors inside, like people who helping you to do it, or it's more about your self-discipline?
I think right now the more senior you get, the less you rely on mentors, but definitely like a lot of people push me. So I think actually my peers help me a lot. Because we discuss a lot of interesting things from different angles. They always bring good perspectives.
Nice.
So it's not like they mentor me, but they give me a different perspective. And then of course, like my seniors, like my boss, for example, quite often pushes me in a good way, like challenge me. Yeah, so that helps me grow.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's still about the environment, people around you, right? So
100%, 100%. Yeah. And I think people in this company are brilliant. A lot of brilliant people here, for sure.
So I was saying like, for example, somebody already got into this company, right? So what would be your three main kind of tips, you know, to make it more faster in the promotion wise and just to be more efficient on that on that career path in Ant Group?
I think you need to find like sort of major opportunities for growth. So this is a little bit tricky.
This is like, you know, actually it's super tricky,
because I'm
HR, right? So I understand like how to get into this, you know, much faster promotion or much better, you know, position, etc. But there is a lot of tiny details,
right? So like, to be fair, it's like you can't get it always 100% right.
Yeah,
I think so. It's like times when you like grow very fast, times when you take a step back and work on yourself. So I think everything is important, but overall I think you need to have more ownership where you are the face of a certain thing, where you take full responsibility for the end-to-end results. So if things go well, it's to your credit, and if things go wrong, even if it's not directly your mistake, you need to take responsibility for it.
So you're kind of earning the credit first, right?
Correct. Yeah. So you need to find this kind of opportunities. So for me, again, when my boss quit, right? My boss and a lot of seniors quit, right? That was the opportunity where, like, I sort of stepped up and took full ownership of the project.
Yeah.
Actually, many, like, a lot of different things, including the team building, etc. So, yeah. But in order to get there, right, in order to get access to those kinds of opportunities, you need to work on your reputation and trust. So you need to build. Yeah. So this is like, this comes through like a lot of daily just grinding, hard work, and like proving yourself. Even when you get a small task, you need to show excellence so that other people can notice that, oh, this guy is actually, you need to send signals that you're actually serious about this job.
You know, in Meta, for example, they do a lot of docs. So they write the doc, like article, and then using that, you kind of spread it.
I think that's one way.
How you do it in group?
I actually don't do that personally, but for sure, people who can write high quality documentation with deep level of thinking, that definitely shows.
So you don't have this kind of internal, I don't know.
We do. So everybody kind of like tries to put, we encourage a lot of people to sort of summarize, write more articles. Practically speaking, because we're so busy, it's not so easy.
Yeah.
But even when your deliverables, you present like your day-to-day job, you still need to write documents, right? For me, it's like my system design documents, architecture documents, etc. You can see, when I just read a document, I can already see who just did the job and who really spent a lot of time thinking about different cases, different analyzing from different perspectives and put it in a document. So same result, but two different levels of quality. So you want to be the person who sort of outperforms the expectation.
Yeah.
So the more you do that, the more reputation you build for yourself, the more other people trust you with things. Then when opportunity comes, you will be the first person they'll go to.
I was I kind of like, I kind of understand what you're saying. It's like we call it you know, I know I'm trying to use Chinese, but
it's okay.
Like
I'll try,
you know,
to understand.
There is kind of momentums, you know, when like there is, everything is ready and a lot of opportunities, or just the moment that is you need to catch.
Right.
So you really should be ready for that.
Exactly. Yeah. The window is very short.
It's either
ready or not. So when the opportunity comes, you have to be ready.
Okay.
But you get ready by doing a lot of small things beforehand. Even they don't sound sexy or like interesting, you still need to perform well.
But how about like, you know, this, how to say, we say that how, like more practical, for example, you need to be very good relations with your manager, or maybe you very good relations with, I don't know, with your colleagues.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think
how
that helps.
How you maintain them, yeah.
So for me, I think relationships definitely plays a big part, but relationships, to be clear, is not that like you're like fun to talk to. I mean, it plays a factor for sure, like making jokes or whatever, or like going for lunch. Yeah, it helps. But the key thing is that like when people think of you, do they think you're a reliable person or not? Like, can you bring value? The more people think so, the more likely the chance of success. So this contributes to good relationships, I think, for me.
Okay.
And then in terms of who to build relationships, yeah, so I look at it, seniors, peers, and juniors. You need to be you need to have good reputation in everyone's
in
eyes,
everyone's
basically.
Eyes. But how, let's say, if you would choose another company or just at least go into the interview for just to have a talk, how you can, like, what is your criteria?
So I think, again, one factor is, would be what kind of opportunities I can get there, right? Like, whether I think they're a fast-growing company or not. Yeah, another factor would be, like, sort of the financial package as well as the work-life balance, how much time do I need to spend. So I think there are like two approaches I usually take. Either I'm looking for a very fast growth companies, and so I try to get as much ownership as I can, or you sort of kind of settle down in the short term and try to find a place with
I really like
more
you saying
free time.
It's very smart to say like what is my place would be in that company.
Right, so I definitely try to you definitely need to figure out, like, it's not about joining the company, it's what are you going to do inside of the company.
Yeah.
Who is your boss, who are your peers, etc.
How far you are from the C-level and
what your position is
going to
be.
Exactly.
So I always try to gauge, like, who are they hiring, are they growing, what is the position. If it's a global company, like, a Singapore office could be just like an office that doesn't have any power, or is it this office where the core major decisions are going to be made?
This
is a big factor for me. Right. So for example, like, I think a lot of, from what I hear, again, I'm not 100% sure because I haven't been to those companies, but like, let's say Meta, Google, or like those big tech companies, right? I think the like sort of the packages and the benefits are amazing there. Should be amazing, I think. But I'm not 100% sure how many of the core critical decisions are made in Singapore as opposed to the States where their headquarters are, right? For example, so the major office in the States, you have a huge time zone difference. I would imagine the collaboration is much harder. Whereas Singapore versus China, right? We're in the same time zone. We're close enough. A lot of collaborations are very close. So yeah, that automatically sort of gives you a sense of what kind of opportunities you may expect.
It's a good criterion analysis because, you know, when you really jumping in and then actually you should have done this when you were considering about this company, because it's the internal processes, who you will work with,
right,
and how much power and authorities given on that position or in that subsidiary of this company.
Another thing I'm trying to gauge, for example, if I'm talking to someone else, I want to know what problems they're facing, so I would always ask, what are the key critical problems you need help with resolving? Then I can understand what are they actually like thinking and like what are the key problems.
All the time I quite honestly saying, I think that this is one of the good thing I would also give to anybody. Like, you need to ask very smart questions on the interview. I'm all the time waiting, like as HR, I'm waiting for people to ask me some questions. Nobody ask me, like, it's very few people who ask me a good questions.
Right, but those people stand out, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, they even ask, I even feel very happy to have this interview, you know, when people are asking me, like, you know, very interesting questions.
So I see.
They have been, you know, I think it's, they're not either, like, they're not very difficult, but somehow they're showing you how you really learn about the topic, how you care about this position, etc. So I think
that best candidates do ask.
Yeah, that's, they do ask, and they ask, like, quite interesting questions.
Yeah. So always pay attention whether they ask or not during the interviews as well.
Okay, so like at the end, I just want to ask, like, still talking about the maybe unfinancial, like, which kind of people you think are very suitable for this job? Let's imagine that.
So, okay, again, I'm biased because I've been only in software engineering teams. I think it really depends team to team.
Yeah.
Right, team to team, like which office you're in, etc. But overall, based on my personal experience, I feel like the hungry people win.
Yeah,
you gotta be hungry because the pain sometimes is quite high as well, or the stress or the pressure can get higher than like an average company in the market, I think.
Yeah.
So in order to sustain and push through that pressure, you have to be like, you have to have something that motivates you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's very easy sort of to burn down or underdeliver, and then it becomes like a loop where you underdeliver, then your reputation goes down, and then you feel unhappy, and then you feel like you're treated unfairly, and then for other people maybe they think, but you're not delivering, etc. So it keeps accumulating. So it's a very dangerous cycle, I feel like.
Understand. Okay.
Yeah. So I think you got to be hungry, basically. Yeah. You got to be like hungry, just, motivated. You got to want to learn here. You gotta wanna grow. If you can, that's like a perfect case.
Yeah.
Or maybe another case is that you're not as aggressive, but maybe you are, you can handle the pressure when it comes, but at the same time, you're okay like to handle all the major jobs day to day, but you gotta be able to handle pressure when it comes,
I understand. Yeah, so I totally agree. This is something that is like every one of us need to kind of consider when we join in high-speed companies. Yeah,
you're right. I'm sure it not only applies to like any high-growth company.
Yeah, high-growth company, they're all like this.
Yeah, high-growth companies, I feel like, all like this. So it's a trade-off. Yeah.
Agree.
Another thing I wanted to say is that the industry is pretty small in Singapore.
Yeah.
So actually, there are just a handful of companies that are sort of easy to transition to.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed, like, for example, and Alibaba, right, ByteDance here has a good presence. Then previously it used to be Shopee, now Shopee not as much. They're not hiring as much these days. And then there are some crypto companies such as like OKX, I heard.
Yeah, they're hiring a lot.
Yeah,
OKX. Is HR there.
OKX, so which is a Chinese crypto company. Then pretty much more or less that's it. Then we also have Grab, which is a local company, but they're not as aggressive in terms of their hiring here. So pretty much everybody sort of jumps around these companies more or less.
Okay.
So the industry is small. The good thing is that once you have teammates here, eventually you'll have connections in all companies.
Because it's a small world.
Yeah, right? It's a very small world. So, and people like talk when they want to hire, they already know like who you are, what your level is, what you've been through, etc., how good you are. So it's a really...
Yeah, actually this kind of conversation I also wanted to build up for people who really, let's say they're outside of Singapore and they really don't have any friend or they don't know this market. So maybe they don't have this opportunity to talk with somebody. So they maybe can listen and reach out to you and ask you some more questions. Yeah.
And by the way, feel free to reach out. So always happy to connect. So
okay.
Yeah, if anybody has any
and just
questions.
few other of life questions about the living in Singapore, because you've been living in the two big kind of, we call it, how they call like tigers or giants of like
Asia,
Hong Kong and Singapore. Yeah.
Right.
So like, how do you think? I think last time you mentioned that here is not that fun as in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I think Hong Kong is much more dynamic.
Yeah.
Dynamic. It has a lot of like sort of, in my mind, I feel like the Hong Kong is like ups and downs all the time, you know, very hectic, very busy on the streets. Spaces are very tiny. Yeah, Singapore is more like, in this sense, in terms of daily life, Singapore is more like balanced.
Hmm.
Yeah, everything is well taken care of, so it's more comfortable here, I think.
I also feel more of the keyword as a comfortable. Yeah, I'm very comfortable here.
Yeah, I think so. Except for the weather. The weather is killing me here.
Oh, really? I really like the weather.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so hot.
I
can survive. I'm used to it. I like the sun.
But I like that you can come out without like thinking what to wear.
Oh, really?
It's like
I'm
everyday
the opposite.
Thing.
I love like jackets or like nice clothes.
Oh,
but,
you
like
to change, right?
Yeah, like I cannot wear like my coat here or anything.
Oh yeah. But I'm so enjoying.
You wear a jacket.
I'm wearing everyday one clothes. I mean, I kind of understand.
Right.
I will never be surprised. Just have your umbrella, small umbrella, very
True.
Small one in your back, and
you this are is
safe.
What I'm carrying right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just came here from Europe, right?
Yes. So it's for
I
me,
it's
also a new experience.
I think it's like grass is always greener, you know, on the other side.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if I go back to Russia, I'll hate it at some point. not hate, but.
But how about the social life here in Singapore? Do you think like?
Yeah, I think.
How you, because as expats, right? You come in here, you're locating, find a job, but you're also trying to integrate to this community. How you do it? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Singapore is a very diverse place. So there are a lot of different nationalities and ethnicities here. I think from, at least from my personal life, because I work in a Chinese company again. So again, by the way, as a disclaimer, right, my perspective is sort of in the Chinese company. So I'm exposed to a lot of Chinese culture, Chinese world. I'm not as exposed to like Western world. So even my experience on like big tech companies, whatever I mentioned, is very sort of from far away. I'm sure there are better people to talk about it more.
Yeah, I understand.
And they may disagree with me. Yeah, so. But anyways, so I find there are a few circles. So one is obviously I have like friends from the company, right? So it's more of a Chinese circle.
Okay.
I notice they have their world. Yeah.
They have different roles.
Yeah, different world. They have different apps that they use and different places they hang out. Then there is that
different place they eat, different place they go, different place they shop.
Exactly.
Everything is different.
Exactly. So that's one sort of world I'm a part of. Somewhat a part of, then another one would be the expat community. A lot of people who move, especially work in the Western companies. And by the way, for those who are like located outside, if you're working for a big like sort of Western companies, I think moving to a Western company in Singapore is also actually a great chance
choice
to transition. So either it's tech or consulting on finance, like generally I notice people do that in my expat circle. I notice people do that a lot. I think it's a great opportunity too. But anyways, going back to the question, so so there's an expat circle, so you hang out with a lot of different expats. They like to like every Friday, Saturday, like go drinks or like bars, restaurants, etc. Very common. And then there is also local communities, so local Singaporeans. So here, right, three main nationalities, so Chinese, Singaporean Chinese, Singaporean Malays, and Singaporean Indians. So they all have their different communities, and they mingle together as well. So kind of like that. So I tend to sort of stick. So anyways, like no matter your background, you should be able to find some kind of community. In terms of social life, like bars, restaurants, I think.
Yeah, it's plenty of it.
Yeah. I think bars, restaurants, pretty much how most people spend their time. Go out drinking.
And how the price, do you think Singapore is expensive?
Yeah, I think alcohol is very expensive.
Compared with Hong Kong?
Hong Kong also expensive, but Singapore a bit more pricier because of the tax. Oh, that's what I find.
I understand.
Yeah, so if you are a heavy drinker, then it's definitely you got a budget. You got a budget for that.
Yeah, it's like a separate category.
Okay, thank you, Don. I think that that our conversation had we had some kind of, I don't know, some people who listening maybe can also.
I hope so. I hope
we open up the door, you know, of living and working here
in
Singapore.
For sure. Yeah. So if any questions, feel free to approach me.
Yeah,
we'd be happy to help.
Okay, then thank you everyone.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.